when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together, so that they began to trample one another. He began to say to his disciples, first of all. My Bible is open to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. Luke, the 12th chapter. And our Lord teaches some great lessons here in this chapter to his disciples as he talked about many things relating to their spiritual life. But as Jesus was teaching, there was a man in that crowd that said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Have you ever noticed how that a will, when it is being given to the family, and the blessings that are in that will, there are those in the family who will say, "It is not fair. What is being given or left to me was not left in the right way that I desire." And here's a man that is arguing, evidently, with his brother about the inheritance that was left behind. Did you notice how that this man in this crowd in verse number 13 of Luke 12 has his mind not focused maybe upon what Jesus was saying, but his mind was focused on an inheritance? I would wonder today that when God's word is being spoken, is being taught, what are our minds thinking about as the sermon is being delivered, as the lesson is being taught? I've heard of people say, "Well, I was concerned about what I'm going to be cooking for lunch. What am I going to be serving my family?" Or maybe I was thinking during the lesson about somebody in my family who was sick and the struggles that they're dealing with. I was thinking about, how am I going to pay the bills this week? The bills that are piling up. How am I going to be able to take care of those financial responsibilities? I don't know what is in your mind today, what you're thinking about as we share the Word of God. But I know this, here was a man in the day of our Lord, as Jesus was teaching this multitude, he was thinking to himself, "Here is somebody that is going to help me take care of the problem of my inheritance." Now notice how Jesus handles this situation. But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" What's Jesus saying? Our Lord is saying that I'm not here to settle your financial problem. I'm not here to deal with your inheritance. Wouldn't it be great today if we who preach would never allow someone to divert us from our responsibility of preaching the Word of God? That there would never be a time when we would be distracted from the greatest need that people have today. Jesus is talking about righteousness. He's talking about serving the Lord. He is talking about things that are spiritual in nature. And the spiritual needs of men are greater than those material needs. And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Our Lord is saying that what you need to be more concerned about is not the material things in this inheritance you're so concerned about, but you need to be concerned about covetousness, about this desire for more material things. Material things are necessary, but they're not the most important thing in your life. Don't all of us need to learn that lesson? That the material things in my life are not the things that really matter the most. But rather, Jesus says, our life does not consist. Life is not all about the abundance of the things he possesses. Things, material blessings, are things that are not to be looked upon as most important. Do not covet in an inordinate way possessions or things in life. And he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. What a powerful lesson that our Lord is teaching on this occasion to this man who was concerned about his inheritance. It gave our Lord a great opportunity to teach this parable about what is most important for us in life, and how that our focus is not to be upon material things that pass away, but rather our focus is to be upon spiritual things that are going to endure forever. Did you ever talk to yourself? Somebody said one time, I'm not concerned about talking to myself so much is when I begin to answer myself. And I think it's true of all of us that we look at things in life and we begin to talk and reason in our own hearts about things. Did you ever talk to your soul? Here is a man in the text that is before us today that is talking to his soul. And he's saying some things to his soul that I believe Jesus will say is foolish. The only time in the Bible that Jesus uses this word fool. You remember how that in the Sermon on the Mount, back in Matthew 5, Jesus warned about calling someone a fool. We don't always understand the background or the reasons why it is that Jesus says, do not say of someone, you fool. Maybe the Lord is saying, do not be condescending. Don't bring somebody down in the level of your understanding by calling that person a fool. But the Bible says that God, on this occasion, looks upon this man in the parable, this foolish, rich farmer. And he says of him, you are foolish in the way that you are thinking. Now let's think, first of all, about why we would say the man was not foolish in his dealing with the way that he worked. We might say that this farmer was very successful. If I were to paint on a canvas, sort of like the beautiful picture behind the baptistry that we look at, if I were to paint a picture on a canvas, I might paint a beautiful farmhouse with white pillars. I might paint on this canvas beautiful grass. I might paint beautiful blooming fruit trees. I might paint on this canvas that this farmer has successful crops. He has fields that are waving in corn and grain. I might paint a beautiful lake or pond in the front of his house. I might paint, here is a man that you and I would consider to be a successful man. He's a hard worker. He gets up early in the morning, like some of you maybe do or you have done. And he goes about his work, his farm, and he works diligently with his hands. So hard does this man work that his grains, his crops are running over. He doesn't know what he's going to do with all of these crops that he has successfully been able to grow out there in the field. He says, what am I going to do? I don't have room to bestow all of my crops, all the things that are growing out there in my fields. What am I going to do? I will pull down my barns. I'm going to build bigger barns. And I am going to store all my crops and my goods. Would you say that it was necessarily wrong for this man to work this hard? To take all the blessings and the benefits that God has given to him? God has made his sun to rise on this man's work. He sent the rain down out of heaven upon his crops. God has blessed, maybe in a wonderful way, the work of this man's hands. No, I don't believe it's wrong today for you to ever be richly blessed by God. Maybe to have great possessions, a nice house, a nice car to drive, nice clothing to wear, money in your bank account. Maybe you've got a good savings account, a good 401k. I mean, you look at your life and you say, look at all the things that I enjoy, all the blessings that are in my life. I've worked hard for these things. I've been diligent to save, been a good steward of all my possessions. Wasn't really foolish of this man to be successful. Don't ever look upon someone who succeeds in life and say that that person is wrong to have all of these blessings. Remember now, Abraham, the father of the faithful, was a wealthy man, blessed by Jehovah. Remember also Job, the great servant of God in Old Testament days, who was very wealthy. Not wrong to have possessions. Not wrong to be wealthy. Not wrong to have money in the bank. The thing that becomes wrong, the thing that is foolish, is not in possessions. But look now as we consider what it was in this man's life in the parable. May Jesus say of him, fool. First, he was foolish Because he forgot God. Not one time does the man say, God has given me all that I possess. God is the one who gave me the strength to work with my hands. He allowed me to get up in the morning and go about my work on the farm. God is the one, when I planted the seed down there in the soil, that gave the abundance of the sunshine and the rain that fell down upon the earth. God was the one who blessed the labor of my hands. Isn't it easy for us to think we are self-made men? I mean, I am able to do in my life what I accomplish because of my ability, because of the sharpness of my mind, the strength of my hands. In the land that I possess, all of these things are mine. And I forget who it is that gives me these blessings, who it is that caused all the things that have come into my life, the multiplied, wonderful blessings of God. Did you notice how this rich, foolish farmer, when he forgot God, he said these words, "What shall I do since I have no room to store," listen to it now, "my crops? I will pull down my barns, and I will store all of my crops and my goods." Who is he thinking about? Is he thinking about God? These are God's barns also. These are God's crops. These are God's goods. Did you ever think the house you're living in today is God's house? Did you ever think about the car you're driving is God's car? Did you ever think about the money in your bank is God's money? I mean, it's not just mine, is it? Not just my possession. I need to take God into account. I need to understand God is the one that has so richly blessed my life. And that's why Jesus said, you remember, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Put God first. As you give, give because of all that God has poured out into your life. How God has opened up the windows of heaven and given us so much. You see, this farmer was foolish because he left God out of the equation of his life. Today we live in a nation that is leaving God out of everything. Leaving God out of the home and family. Leaving God out of the nation that we live in. Yes, there are even churches today who leave God out, who leave God's word out of the picture, and no longer declare the word of the Lord and preach the gospel God has revealed. The fool has said in his heart, no God. They don't believe in God. And this farmer here in the parable that Jesus is teaching was foolish because he left God out of the picture of his life. What about me? Am I leaving God out of anything? Notice in the second place, this farmer was foolish because he left out his fellow man. Do you think that down the road from where that farmer lived, there might have been a widow who has lost her husband and she's poor? You think there's someone that knocked at his door one day and asked for help? You think that as that farmer would leave his farm of all of the blessings God has given to him, that he would see the poor around him? his fellow man. But rather than saying, I'll give some of my crops to that little widow down the road, I'll share with her. I'll share with that man who comes to my door asking for food. I will give unto him. I will do for others. I will share with others what God has given to me. And he forgot, you see, all about his fellow man. That was the problem, you'll remember, of the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus was the gate of that rich man, holding out his hand just for the crumbs, fell from the table of that rich man. Lazarus, as he simply wanted a small amount of love and sharing, the rich man closed off his heart from poor Lazarus. And this foolish farmer here in the parable, he talked about my crops, my goods, my barns. Wouldn't it be great to say, I've got so much. I want to share with others. I want to give to someone who is in need. The Magi boxes that you all do here at Lake Hills are a wonderful blessing to a lot of folks who are in need. And I'm sure that Lake Hills help support mission work of men and women who are sharing the gospel in difficult places. Maybe some of you in this audience, you're sharing with others, you're giving with others out of all the bounty God has given to you. You are supporting the work of the Lord and nobody knows anything about it. But because God has so richly blessed you in your life, you consider the needs of others. You consider your fellow man. Didn't Jesus say, here is the great command. Love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And the second like it, love your neighbor as you love yourself. That foolish farmer evidently had no concern about his fellow man. Thirdly, the man was foolish. Because he thought his soul could be satisfied with material things. He said, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. What's he saying? My soul. What is inside of me? That nature that no one can see. Soul, you have a lot of good things to enjoy. It reminds us of the words of Paul out of 1 Corinthians 15. If there's no resurrection of the dead, let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Aren't there a lot of people living that way in our world today? Don't people think that I want to get all of the gusto out of life that I can? I mean, I want to eat, drink, and be merry. That is what satisfies me both outside and inside of my life. But there's something within us. The soul within can never be satisfied with material things. The soul that is inside of us can only be fed by things that are spiritual in nature. And the devil said, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Our Lord is saying that it is the word of God that satisfies the soul, that satisfies us within. I can have all the ease, the eating, drinking, and being merry, but there's going to come a time for all of us that we realize the soul will not be satisfied with those things that are of a material, worldly nature. The soul made in the image of God, in the likeness of God, is only satisfied by the spiritual things that God gives to us. And this rich farmer never thought about that, never realized what was most important for his spiritual soul within. This man was foolish because he thought he had a lot of time left. Notice he says, you have many years, many goods laid up for many years. How much time do I have left? How much time do you have left upon this earth? We don't know how much more time God is giving to us. I mean, I may think that I'm 70-something years of age. Maybe I've got 20 or 30 more years, I hope. But I don't know. You look at some of our young folks today, and young people as they're growing up, I got a long life ahead for me. But I can go back and I can remember when I was in high school, there were two or three of young people in high school who lost their life. One in a tragic automobile accident. Another was about 17 years of age, a very close friend of mine. He developed cancer, and he died about 17 years of age. And I think, oh, I've got a long life ahead for me, many years left. And this man in the parable that Jesus taught thought, I've got a long time left, many years to enjoy all of it. It's always foolish to think of many years. Boast not yourself of tomorrow, for you know not what a day may bring forth. Yes, he was foolish in thinking of many years, but God said, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. I wonder, when that night came and he knew life was coming to an end. I don't know. The parable doesn't tell us how he died. Did he have a heart attack? And taken away quickly? Did he have a stroke? Did he have an aneurysm? Was there an accident out there when he was maybe working late in the afternoon or evening? It really doesn't matter what happened, how death came to that man, but I'm sure of this. When that man heard the saying, this night, he would say, Lord, what about 20 more years? No, this night. Lord, what about 10 more years? No, this night. What about 5 years? No, this night. What about just one more year? 6 more months? 1 more week? 1 more day? No, this night. This night, your soul is required. You suppose when I get down to the end of life, and I know this night, is it a night of my departure from this world that I will want to argue with God for just a little more time, a little more opportunity to serve Him, a little more opportunity to obey the gospel of Christ? No, this night, your soul is required. You don't have many years left. Your life is almost over. And in closing this morning, you notice this foolish, rich farmer failed to realize that eternity was there before him. And his soul that night when he died was thrust out into eternity. All the things he thought that he had, all of his goods and possessions, all of his bigger barns and bigger plans, all of that was just momentary, just a little while. But now he faces eternity. How shall we feel when we look out into eternity? Never-ending existence. Will it not be foolish for you and me to have lived for this life only and never thought about our eternal destiny? We're going to be somewhere forever and forever. And this foolish farmer, had he only chosen to serve God with all of his blessings, eternity would have brought to him eternal life. As we close this morning, I want you to think about this. Here was a man who talked to his soul. But what if the soul inside had talked to him? What if that soul had said to him, "You starved me. You neglected me. You thought that all the pleasures of life would satisfy me inside. And you have not prepared my soul to dwell eternally with God. If only we could take our soul out and stand it beside us, what would our souls say to us?" The man who talked to his soul that day was so foolish. And the mark of wisdom today is to prepare our soul eternally to dwell with God forever and forever. Is your soul ready? Is it prepared to meet God? If it were this night, where would we be? In the eternal dwellings. If you're not a Christian, we have this song that Sammy has chosen to encourage you to obey the gospel today. And you would give 1,000, yea, 1,000,000 worlds to come back and obey the gospel if you've not done that today. If you believe in Jesus, why not repent of your sins, confess Christ before this precious audience? Be baptized into Christ today, and your sins can be washed away, preparing your soul for the dwelling with God. If you need the prayers of your spiritual family, if you allowed the world to control your life and you've forgotten the most important thing in life of serving the Lord and putting Him first in your life, whatever your spiritual need is this morning, the invitation is yours.